Well, I appreciate the Lord tonight. I'm thinking about the Lord's ability to lead our lives. And there is a characteristic of the Lord. He's all powerful. We know that. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And he's all wise. He's omniscience. He knows everything. And I'm glad that he knows everything. And I think about the Lord sometimes in the way that, and it isn't, he's not going to, it's impossible for him to impart himself to me that I know everything. He's not trying to get me to know everything. But I think the Lord really is interested in leading our lives. I believe that the Lord doesn't withhold the things that we need to know. I think sometimes we got to seek the Lord for it. But just to know that the Lord knows about my life. He knows what I need. People don't really know me altogether well. You may know me some. You may have opinions about what I should do or shouldn't do. I've got a lot of advice that I've asked for and not asked for. I've got good advice and bad advice. And everywhere between. But God knows the real answer. And I believe that the Lord is interested tonight in leading us and guiding us into all truth. Someone recently asked for counsel about something. And they wanted to know what to do. It was very important to them to know what to do. It was something that really touched their life. And so they asked, what should I do? And I had an answer for them. And the answer was, I don't know. You can't really assume that I know everything about your life. You can't really think that I've lived in a way or I've got an understanding of my own life and everything and understand your life enough to know what you should do in every situation of your life. I don't know. I didn't know. So my answer was, I don't know. I really don't know, but this is what I can tell you that I believe. I believe God knows. And I believe that there is no part of God that wants to withhold this from you. Now, you need to be patient and just wait, put it before the Lord, and you'll probably find out that it ends up a lot better and quicker and answered better than you can ever believe that it would. If you'll give it to the Lord. And the Lord will allow this to happen in such a way that instead of it being tumultuous and worrisome and all of these things, all of a sudden you look and say, wow, what a God we serve. And you know, this was seen such a big thing, but it wasn't long before the answer had come and it was no issue now. The Lord had led in a way that it solved the problem. Completely solved the problem. And he knew the answer to it. I didn't know what the answer was going to be, but I have lived for God long enough to know that in my own life, when I get like that, that the Lord is able to lead me when I give him the ends of it, when I allow him to do it. He's able to do that for us. But we need the heart. We need the right heart, an honest heart and the right heart to be able to be led of the Lord. You can't just have the mind, I guess going to go my own way, I'm going to do my own thing, and Lord, you pick up the pieces behind it. No, the Lord wants us to submit ourselves into His hand. I want to start with Scripture in Acts, the 16th chapter of Acts. Oh, I'm going to have to read back just a little bit. The 22nd verse, and the multitude, this is Acts 16 and 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, And the magistrate rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now here was a very unusual circumstance that happened. How to explain this in any modern terms or any terms that this man had ever probably seen in his life would have probably been impossible. They charged him with something that was so strongly charged to him that he understood that his life was at peril, that he put him into the very inner place with them. Not only that, was in there behind bars. He hooked them up with chains, and he was intent on keeping them, and everything that he could do was doing that. He just didn't know at the time that he was wrestling with a force that was bigger than he could ever imagine. There was nothing he could put into his thinking that could have imagined what he was up against in trying to keep Paul and Silas. And he probably would have done a fairly good job had they not started singing praises unto God. Now that really started moving things here and changed it until there was an earthquake, shook the place, opened the doors, the shackles falls off the feet, and now this guy's in a place, he's assuming that they had fled, and so the best thing he could do before the ones that had charged him with it comes in and kills him, then he just honorably kills himself. That's the scenario here. But why didn't Paul and Silas run? Why didn't they leave? There's more than the mission for Paul and Silas. They're going to get more mileage out of that whooping than just to be freed out of there, just to see the Lord. They was going to get rewarded with some souls here at this time. But you all moved this person to this question, and I know the answer of the question is just fabulous and great here, but I want to focus more at this time just on the question. Just on the heart. Sirs. I mean, God just done something for you guys. Who is this God? What is this? What is this circumstance? How did you get to this place? Or maybe he had some understanding of why Paul and Silas was in there. He probably had understanding that they was considered religious. There was a reason why they was in there. A reason why they got whipped. He probably wasn't a believer, but now believing coming on. Something's happening here. And so now he says, "Sirs," this is the question. But we can broaden this question. This isn't just a question that says, "What must I do to be saved?" But what must I do, Lord, to keep saved? Lord, what must I do in this problem? I got issues here. I got a situation in my life. What must I do? Yeah, you can come and answer me, but the most likely answer you'll get from me is that I don't know. I may say I know some things about the situations that I went through, but my most likely answer for anything, you can come up to me and say, "Brother Marty, I'm thinking about moving to West Virginia. Should I do it?" Don't know what you should do. Brother Marty, I'm going to give up my job and go into the mission field. What do you think? I don't know whether you should go in the mission field or not. I don't know if you'll be blessed there. I don't know if you have a gift for it. Honestly, I don't know much about it. But I know the one that does. And I know the one that's going to be faithful to the questions that you ask of him. He wants to lead and guide us into all truth. He wants to lead us as individuals for our own lives. Well, brother, I've had these questions. Well, brother, I'm thinking about changing jobs, and I want to know this. I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you. I haven't even prayed about this. I don't know. I haven't fasted. I haven't prayed. I don't know what somebody should do in these situations, but I know the one that knows what you should do in your life. I know the one that you should ask. What must I do to be saved? I don't know whether this story is true or not, but it was a very catching story. It was a man in American history named George Washington Carver. And if you're ever in the Diamond area, there's a great monument and thing out there to him. He was a remarkable man for his time, and there's no doubt about it. But it was said one time that he was a devout man, and he had prayed and asked the Lord, "Lord, show me the mysteries of the universe." Now, I can't verify this. I have no idea whether it's true. It was said of him that he prayed and said, "Lord, show me the mysteries of the universe." And the Lord said, "It's too big for you. Show me the mysteries then of the earth." "It's too big for you." "Show me the mysteries of humanity. Show me the mystery." "It's too big for you." So he says, "Show me the mystery of the peanut." And he developed like 100 and some products of the peanut, and he studied and looked into the peanut and all this, and found out that he couldn't exhaust it. A peanut. He couldn't exhaust that. But the search for the understandings of it. "Lord, help me to know and to see." The question. It's an important question. "Lord, what must I do? What would you have me?" A few years ago, me and another brother was dealing with a man who came to us and said, by his own testimony, "I'm a mess." That's what he said. I'm a mess. I got my life into a mess. It was into drugs. He messed up with his wife. And he said, "I'm a mess." And so somewhere in the conversation, we had said, "Well, you need to do this." And he said, hold it. I want you to know right off before we go any farther. I don't believe you have to do anything to be saved. Salvation is a free gift of God, and I don't believe you have to do anything to be saved. And I said, "Nothing?" "Nothing. Not one thing." And I said, "You don't believe you have to repent of your sins to be saved?" He said, "Yeah, I believe you have to repent." I said, "That's one." "But it ain't just one. It'll go on and on. You've got to believe. You've got to be faithful. You've got to keep going. They that endure to the end will be saved, not those that don't endure to the end." Do you can't come along and say, "I know what the doctrine is. I mean, I know what they're saying. And of course it's a free gift. There's nothing you can do outside of being faithful and doing what God said. You can't buy it. You can't be good enough." Of course we understand the idea of it. But to say that you don't do anything is absolutely false. Of course you do something. Of course you do. What must I do to be saved? Well, there was an answer to this, of course. "Sirs," he said, "what must I do to be saved?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ." If you don't think there's anything to do, he just said there was. But you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can be saved if you really believe on him, because the believing on him is going to catapult you into everything that you need to do. "I believe on the Lord Jesus. I repent of my sins. I will trust in his blood. I will trust in what he done. I'm going to give my life to him. I believe in him. I'm going to give myself to him." You know, the Lord wants to lead and guide our lives individually. He wants to lead and guide your life. I'm not talking, I know counsel is important. I know it's good to talk with somebody that's been where you're wanting to go. I know there's things involved in that, and there's wisdom in that, and I know there's understanding in that. But there's no promise that they're going to lead and guide you into all truth. The Lord may use human instrumentality to get you there, but the Lord wants to lead and guide every one of us into truth. And the question that we have to ask is, "Lord, what must I do? Lord, what do I need to do for my life? It may be different than Brother Chad's. Lord, what must I do? What are you expecting and wanting out of my life? Oh, are you wanting me to move here? Are you wanting me to go here? You know, the decisions of our life is very important. Of where we go and what we do, it's very important, the direction. Today's the first day of the rest of your life. Well, what's the rest of your life? What's going to be a year now from now, 5 years from now, if the Lord carries? The decisions you make today will make a big difference in what that is. Of course it does. The Lord wants to lead and guide us into these things to make the future for us. The desire is good for us. He knows what He's desiring for us and expected in. Not of evil, but of good. And He wants to try to lead and guide us in that. If you're in a place in your life, you get in a place in your life, and surely we've all been in these places and say, I don't know what I'm doing. Maybe you haven't been. I'm telling you, I've been in places that I said, I don't know what to do. And you know, the Lord, line upon line, witnessed till I couldn't gainsay what the Lord was saying. I knew what the Lord was wanting to do in my life. The Lord made it clear and led me to those places a little bit of a time and gave me a foundation. So I want to just tell you a little bit about the way the Lord led me. I'm individual. I'm different. I need something. Maybe I need something that others don't. The Apostle Paul, the Lord shined a big light around him. He's on the road to Damascus to persecute the church. He's got a ladder. I mean, he's going full out. You know what the Lord looked down and saw, Paul? A heart. You know, Paul said that he done it ignorantly, supposing that he was doing good. He thought he was doing God a favor while he was doing all that. He had the right heart towards God. He just was misinterpreting what he was supposed to do. And the Lord saw that and said, I'm going to use this man. Because when he gets a hold of it, I got him. He shined a light around him. You know the story of Paul. Do you have an on the road to Damascus experience? Can you say that the Lord shone a light around you? I can't say that. But Paul had his testimony. Paul couldn't testify my testimony, but he could testify to his. You can't testify mine, but you can testify to yours. Lord, what would you have me to do? I come along in front of the Lord, and I told the Lord, if you save me, I'll do whatever you want. I had to redo that a few times, but Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do. So this is the way the Lord started dealing with me. He started giving me thoughts as I drove back and forth to work. And I still say some of my best messages was me in the car by myself. And it seemed like the Lord could really just pour it on me, and I'd be going on and it just be rolling. But it wasn't to anybody, but it was just to me and the Lord dealing with me. The Lord was working and dealing, leading me to somewhere. I was amazed by it because it wasn't so natural in my mind, and the Lord began to deal with it. So the Lord come to a place in my life to where this is the way it worked for me. We had Brother Clifford Wilson up there, and Brother Sammons, of course, had these old heads and wise heads, and there come a time to where the Lord was giving me these things, and all of a sudden, and Brother Tony was there, and Brother Tony said something about needing an adult Sunday school teacher, and he asked me, he said something about if I'd do it, and I said I'd be willing, if the Lord would want me to do it, I'd be willing to do it. And he said, would you? And I said, yes, I'd do that. If the Lord wants me to. Of course there was a reservation in there just saying, I hope He don't want me to. But yeah, if He wants me to, I would do that for the Lord. I told Him, if you save me, I'll do whatever you want. Lead me, Lord. Lead me. Then there come a time to where I told Him I'd do it. And there come a time to where He called me up on a Sunday morning and said, do you know that Dad's gone? This is Brother Tony. Said, you know that Dad's gone? And I said, no, I didn't know that. Well, we kind of need a Sunday school teacher today. This is Sunday morning. I mean that Sunday morning, not the Sunday morning. That Sunday morning. He said, you wouldn't happen to have something, would you? I said, as a matter of fact, I do. The Lord had given me something all week long to do it. It was a testimony of the Lord. It was a testimony of the Lord's leading me in my life. He gave it to me. And do you know, I started doing the Sunday school, and I kept doing the Sunday school, and I'd done it for years. And there was times that the Lord, I know the Lord was working in this, because there was times to where I would get through with the Sunday school and go sit down and have next week's Sunday school from the seat there before the service was over. But boy, was that a rough week when that happened. I'm telling you that I would be going through something and wouldn't have time for nothing. And there was times that I was on my way to Sunday school class before the Lord gave me something. There was times where I was sitting in the seat praying, Lord, you're going to have to do something. I'm going to have to get up here. And the Lord gave me something right there at that time. And He worked with that for years and never failed one time to inspire something to my heart to minister. Not once to do Sunday school. My sister used to say that they got two services because my Sunday school started getting preachy. This is not about me. I want to talk about the Lord. He started witnessing. This is the way it worked for me. There come a time to where the Lord wanted to call me full time to the ministry. And I remember the way the Lord dealt with me about this. Me and my dad was going to build this log cabin. And all of a sudden, I saw the miracles in it where we decided to do this and then people started giving materials. It was like it was a divine thing. It was so carnal and so secular that I couldn't hardly put the Lord with it, to the point it was so obvious that God was in it that I questioned the Lord. Why are you doing this about something that don't matter much? And the Lord said, I want you to know I can build something if I want to build. And that was leading up to what the Lord wanted, to build a confidence in me. I can take care of you. I can make something appear. I can make something happen. Then I had this dream. I just want to encourage you to the Lord. This is the way it works. I don't have to struggle. The Lord wants to lead us. He wants to lead you in your life. This is the way. And the Lord wanted to lead me. And so come up to a certain point and I had this dream. And in my dream, I was up on this high bank and I was looking over this great dam. It was bricks, blocks in this great dam. And I looked down over there and underneath there, it wasn't anybody in particular, but it was the saints. The saints was down there below this great dam and the water was springing. It started springing between the cracks and they was trying to stop the water from coming out the cracks of these bricks and blocks, and it was trying to hold it and it was spraying everything and all this, and I was looking there saying, this is a disaster. Something's really bad going to happen, and it was doing this, and then in my dream somebody looks up and says, there's Brother Marty. He can stop the water. You're looking at somebody else. This guy can't stop no water. That's what I was doing in my dream. It was very humbling that you say that, but I can't stop the water. But Mom, you got to do it. You got to do it. If I have to do it. But in my dream, it was a very humbled place, and I went down, and I had the ability, I'll just come and touch over it, and it stopped. It stopped. It was like it stopped the whole thing. Brother Tony preached the message. And he preached one of those messages about who's the man. God's looking for somebody. And when he preached that message, I was looking around the congregation saying, it don't fit him. It don't fit him. Lord's talking to somebody here. Don't fit anybody in here. And the same feeling of that dream was the feeling I had as this message went forth. You know that the Lord was preparing me. I was going to do something so much bigger than me and so much out of my character that I needed to know that the Lord was in this thing. Has to be the Lord. It's got to be something more than me in here. And the Lord led through that. And by the time I actually got, I used to imagine making the long walk, you know, to preach. I thought, there's no way I could ever do it. But you know, by the time I actually did it, the Lord had put me through such a school. There's nothing to it. We imagine things in our own humanity. We imagine the way things are. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord can work with your life. He can lead you into anything He calls you to. He can help you to do whatever you want to, and what He wants you to do. And if you're in those kind of places and you simply are asking, Lord, what must I do? I'm in this situation and I don't know what to do about my family. Can I tell you something? The Lord knows more about that than you do. You can give that to the Lord in faith, and the Lord can do something about it. He can lead you into exactly. I don't know whether I should be stern here. I don't know whether I ought to be loose. I ought to care. I don't know what to do. You know, the Lord can lead you right in and make that work out just beautifully. He knows exactly. The heart is, Lord, what must I do? Help me, Lord, to know what I must do. The Lord can help us to know exactly what we need to do. Over in another scripture, over in Acts. Oh, I think that's the one I was already mentioned about, but Paul makes this statement in Acts 9. I'm going to read the little bit of it in the first verse. It says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of them letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Now I want to tell you a transformation that happened in seconds. Paul has a mind to persecute people that believed in Jesus. You don't think that the gospel makes a difference? I'm going to show you one. He was going to persecute men and women, and there was no exceptions. He was going to persecute them and do everything he could against them. And in an instant, in a moment, in a shining of a light and in a voice, he says, Lord, to Jesus. This is Jesus. Lord, what would you have me to do? The very words of that are submissive. This is a submissive statement. I submit myself. Lord, I must have been going the wrong way. I'm scared of going the wrong way. Lord, what must I do to not go the wrong way? Lord, what must I do to be changed? Lord, what must I do to think different? Lord, help me to not be the way I am. Lord, help me, guide me, lead me to where I can find the place that you're satisfied with me. So there may not be the natural light that he's seen, but light shines. You get the message. The Lord deals. And he's continually saying to us, why are you kicking against the pricks? Why are you kicking against the love that I'm trying to show you? Why are you kicking against my leadership? I won't lead you wrong. I won't lead you into harm and danger. I won't lead you to destruction or hurt. I'm going to lead you in a way everlasting. I'm going to lead you to the truth. I'm going to lead you to what's best for you in your life. I'm going to lead you if you'll just simply say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Can you imagine somebody that took a stand? You know how our egos are. Come on. You know how ego is. You make a proclamation about something, and no doubt Paul's argued and fought and struggled and tried. You know how politics and things are. Come on, religion. Argued about what's right and wrong and all this, and you'd stand and you'd die for that, and you'd stand right there, and all of a sudden, in an instant, he said, Lord, what you want to have me to do? Now you're going to have to answer to what you said. I was wrong. I was wrong. I'm going to tell you the cornerstone. You can find it several places in the scriptures, but I think Paul, all of his life, went around. And when they said, why are you like you are? Because I was on the road to Damascus. Because the Lord set this stage for me. The Lord did this. This is the God of heaven to come down. and changed me. I was thinking wrong. Well, my heart was for God, but I was thinking wrong. And the Lord arrested me. He arrested me. Folks, I'm going to tell you, the greatest blessings. I know it's hard on the ego, but the greatest blessing is when He arrests you. It says, you're going the wrong way. You got the wrong thing in your mind. Lord, what would you have me to do? How do I change the way I think? And this has been in there a long time. How do I change this? I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I don't know how to write it down for you to do that. And I don't believe anybody else really knows either. But I know the one that knows. And I know if we got a heart to say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, I want your leadership. I believe that the Lord will set the stage for your life. And it'll happen. It'll happen to where you'll say, I've got a Wednesday night testimony. I've got something that I can say in my life. God met me. And I thought wrong. And now I can think right. And now I can face these things that I never could face before. Old Paul said it. The jailer said, sirs, what must I do? Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know why he asked that? Because in his humanity and all the wisdom that he could ever gain by sitting at the feet of the great teachers, they never taught him what to do for his soul. They didn't know about him coming to this situation and what he possibly could do. And he had to ask the one that knew, Lord, what would you have me to do? What's the course that I do? Do I pick up from here? Do I go back to what do I do? What's the state? What are you going to do? And he said, I'll tell you what to do. I'm going to have him take you down. I got it all planned out. You just follow along. Submit yourself and be willing. Paul, I'm going to make something of you. You don't know yet. But it's over 2,000 years later or so. And his name is still mentioned in a little congregation here. The books that he written went down into the ears. The things that God had worked with him has been profound to our souls. He made a difference. And he served God and God led him. And I'm going to tell you, he didn't lead him all into the cake and ice cream. He led him into hard places, shipwrecks and beatings. And he led him into places and he fulfilled the desires of Paul's soul. The whole time through, he blessed him in his soul. Every time he got in trouble, here the Lord come and delivered him out of it. To the place that he finally gets to the place, and not as an old man, but he gets to a place and he says, and you can read about it in, 2 Timothy 4, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. And I've kept the faith, and there's not one little bit of me that's regretting. I get to go on and be with the Lord now. He's about ready to go. Come and get me. I'm ready to go. He led me through all of these things because I said, what would you have me to do? With all my heart, Lord, what do you have me to do? I make a minister out of you. I know you say, I don't want to be no minister. It don't matter. It don't matter. Who does? I'm sure there's people do. But does it matter? Is that what matters? No. Living for the Lord is what matters. Have my life, Lord. Take my life. I won't look it up, but there was another place, I believe, there was a young man in the scriptures that came to the Lord because he had a need. And he said, good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Do you really want to know? I believe the man was honest. I believe the challenge was great. But he came. He came to ask, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord loved him. It said he dealt with him. You do nothing? Yes, you got to do something. Do these things. I've done that since when you, I lack something. I know I lack something. How can I not know I lack something? I don't have the joys. I don't have the peace. I hear the song sung of peace and joy, and I hear the testimonies of the saints of the thing, good things of God, and I don't feel that way. I don't have that. What must I do? Lord, what must I do to have victory in my life? I know there's victory in Christ, but don't have it. The question is, Lord, what must I do? This man had something in his life, and finally the Lord loved him and just told him right down to the very bottom of the thing. He told him. He revealed it as only God can do. I can't look into your life and say, brother, you're hung up on this. You're hung up on this, brother. I want to tell you, right here's your problem. If you get rid of that, I can't see that stuff. But the Lord knows. And he told this man, I don't think he tells everybody this. Go sell all that you got, because he knows they already gave it up to the Lord anyway. It's already committed. You don't need to tell him that. But he knew that man didn't. You do lack something, all right. Your definition, he didn't even call him John, George, Joe. He didn't call him that. His definition was he was a ruler. He was a young ruler. That was his definition. He had money. He was rich. He was powerful. That was his definition. That's his name. And the Lord said, give it up. Give it up. Go sell what you got. Go pick up your cross. Come on, follow me. And he went away sorrowful. Only God knows. You know, if he would have said honestly in his heart, if it had been true, and he just said, I'll do anything. Lord, what would you have me to do? I'm down to the rock bottom. What would you have me to do? How can I change? How can I change where I'm at? To be where you would have me to be. How can I make this different? How can I change these things about me that keep creeping up, that is besetting to me? They're besetting. I can't get over these things. Well, you may say, boy, he sounds naive, but I'm going to tell you something. I don't think it's as complicated as we make it. I think when you get to the bottom and you honestly say with all your heart, I'm through. Lord, what must I do? Lord, I'm going to trust you now that because I can't nothing else to do. I believe that's where the thing starts rolling. And the Lord's going to work that out to the place that there is victory in your life. He's not going to leave an honest soul undone. He knows it all. And he knows exactly how to help us in our lives. And we don't know, but God does know. There's another scripture I want to touch real quick. It's a familiar passage too. It's in Daniel, the story of Daniel. I'm just going to refer to it, I think, for time's sake, but it's in the second chapter of Daniel. And the story is, you can start with the verse of it, but it goes something like this. Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, he had a dream, and the dream troubled him. And the Lord, and God gave him this dream. There's no doubt about it. God gave him a dream, and he troubled him immensely with the dream. And then the Lord took a dream from him. And he was so upset about the dream and so stirred by the dream that he knew there was something to the dream, but he didn't know what the dream was. So he calls for those wise men, the wise men, the astrologers, and the magicians, and the people of, they called them wise men, that could see beyond what other men could see, and they could see the things and all this, and nobody ever thought of trying this before, but this is the way the Lord worked it out for Nebuchadnezzar. And so Nebuchadnezzar calls in his wise men and says, okay, this is what you're paid for. This is what you're all about right here. This is why we have you around, right? I had a dream and I need you to interpret it. Easy. Just tell us what it is and we'll interpret it. Well, it ain't so easy. I had the dream, but the dream was took from me. And so what I want you to do as wise men is to tell me what I dreamed and then interpret the dream. Because that's easy for a wise man to do. No, they say, that's not easy. And there's no king anywhere in any of the kingdom that would ever ask of a astrologer or a magician or a Chaldean to actually interpret a dream that they didn't know what was. You're going beyond the pale here of what our pay scale is. We don't know how to do. And he says, well, this is what I know from that. You're all a bunch of frauds. Because this is evident. This is what you're supposed to do. And if you can't do it, we're just going to get rid of you guys, you frauds. And so he makes a decree, get rid of them. Well, Daniel happened to be one of the ones that was considered in this group. And when they tell Daniel, well, then Daniel was saying, basically his saying is this. Well, that is true. I mean, Daniel said, well, that is, I mean, basically that's right. I mean, what man can tell what another man dreams? But I know I can't do that, but I know the one that can. So if you'll give me a little bit of time, he tells the chief deal there, give me some time. And so he goes before the Lord and says to the Lord, Lord, you know the situation here. And the Lord revealed to Daniel in a dream, in a night, he revealed to him what it was. But that is so true. Who can know another man's dreams? Nobody. But the one that gave the dream knew what he gave. I told my wife about this message. I think I told her yesterday. I felt like the Lord really inspired something to my heart. I told her. You know, I felt like the Lord gave me something. But I woke up this morning and I told her, I said, for the life of me, can't remember what it was. I don't know what it was. I've been thinking and thinking, and it was really something to start. I had really thoughts about it. And Paul didn't write it down or nothing. And it was gone. It was gone like Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It was gone. And I told my wife this morning, I said, well, I don't worry too much about it because the one that gave it still got it. I mean, if the Lord wants me to preach it, he'll give it back to me. I mean, he still got it. I was going around the end of the day and I said, Lord, what was that? What was that? That thought. And it just popped right into my mind. What must I do? Oh, yes. Well, thank you, Jesus. I knew you knew. I know you know that. I want to tell you something else. He knows how you should respond to your neighbor. A plate of cookies might do it. And it might be the worst thing you could do. Well, how could... I'm telling you, God knows how to deal with us in our lives. God knows how to bring things back to our remembrance. He knows how to deal with other people about their things in their life. Oh, it's so... I'm going to tell you, we complicate it. We can commit it to God. Lord, lead me. Lead me. I'm honest before you tonight. Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. Lead me in this. I don't know what to do. I don't know where I should make a move or not. But I know, you know what? You can just know. I don't know how to even hardly answer it. The Lord comes in this way of witnessing that you say, I know. You know, over the years, I've always asked the Lord, I don't know how to do this, Lord. Lead me by my desire. If I really need to go somewhere, Lord, make me really to want to go. I mean, you might say, well, Lord, you can lead. Lord, lead me that way. There was one year we had been out a lot. I'll be honest, we had been out a lot. And our conversation to one another in my family was, we're going to go home. And we're going to stay home. So anyway, we was going, and we'd been out, and anyway, we was going to stay home, and Brother Darrell Johnson calls me, and he says, Brother Marty, oh, Brother Darrell, how you doing? And the normal greetings, and then he says, Brother Marty, are you coming to our meeting? Brother Darrell, no, not coming to your meeting. Now, Brother Marty, he said, I wouldn't speak so hasty. Now we went on with talking, and the longer we talked, and we weren't talking particularly about the meeting, we're just talking and talking, and the more we talked, it started burning, and the more it started burning, the more I was wanting to go to Dallas, and the time I got to the phone, and I know my wife wasn't going nowhere, but she needs to have to want to go somewhere. And I get off the phone and hang up, and I knew what I had to tell her, you know, it was, honey, I think we're going to Dallas. Now, I never told Brother Darrell that, but I told my wife, I said, I think we're going to Dallas. No, I didn't. I said, honey, we're going to Dallas. And she said, praise the Lord. The Lord was dealing with her too. The Lord can lead us. I was like, thank the Lord, and I walked from the bedroom into the bathroom. I remember walking right into the sink, and the Lord just bombarded me with saying, I want you to preach maturity to them. Not only was I going to Dallas, I already knew what the messages was. That's unusual too, but the Lord wanted to witness to me. I'm going to tell you, when I got down there, I was so confident. I was so positive. The Lord sent me here with a message for you all. The Lord knows how to lead. I didn't know this. I called Brother Darrell back and said, Brother Darrell, can I retract my first statement? And he said, oh, absolutely. I didn't want to mention to you, but I prayed about this and the Lord put you on my mind. That's why I called you. The Lord said it was you that was coming. The Lord knows how to lead. He knows how to lead Brother Darrell. He knows how to lead us. He knows how to lead you. And he knows how to lead you. If there was supposed to be a special song tonight, you missed it. But the Lord knows how to lead you to do it. But you got to say, what would you have me to do? What would you have my gift be? What do you want me to do?
That's right.
Folks, listen. There's a lot of the work of the Lord to be done.
Amen.
You can do it everywhere. The Lord leads. So I don't want to take up a lot of your time, but I want to tell you the Lord can lead. I got a blessing. I know this is strange, but I got a real blessing. I had a Facebook account, and somebody stole it, okay? And they messed with it, and I got it all straightened out so that don't happen again. But it did happen, and I lost a lot of the people that I had on Facebook. My Uncle Elmer was one of them. His name is Cecil Clevenger, but he was Uncle Elmer to us, and he was one of them that I lost, and I hadn't friended him back, and so I got a friend request from Uncle Elmer. I was very suspicious of that because I didn't think that Uncle Elmer would be going after friends. I had went and got him as a friend before, and I didn't think it was Uncle Elmer. And so ended up it wasn't Uncle Elmer. It was somebody else. And they come in and say, you know, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. Language that was absolutely not Uncle Elmer, but it was somebody, and it was a soul. I don't know how you think about these things, but I knew there was a soul back there somewhere. A soul. And so they went this and this and about this, and so I answered them something like this. You're obviously not Uncle Elmer, okay? And I know that you're just trying to fraud me, you're trying to steal something, and I know that, but I want to ask you something. Do you really think that this is all that you can do with your life? Do you really, is this all that can, that you'll do? Are you proud of this? I want you to know that God has more for you than you frauding people. You can be better than this. Well, I don't get a lot of answers from, usually that's where it's gone. But this particular time, there was an answer. And the answer was, no, brother, you asked, and no. I'm not proud of what I do. I'm ashamed of what I do, he said. And said, if I had, it's so bad over here where I'm at, he said, there's hardly any option for what I do. And I come back and said, well, there's always an option, and this is a bad one. And what's your name? He said, my name's Gilbert. Found out he was from Nigeria. And he was frauding people and he was ashamed of himself. I asked him, I said, well, you've got a friend here. I know he was trying to fraud me, but he's still a soul. Jesus loves him. Jesus loves him. And we can be led. And we can be led to people when we pray. And I was led to Gilbert. And I told Gilbert, if you ever need somebody as a friend and you want to talk, this is what I do. And I'll be glad to help you with this. Not with silver and gold. They'll help you with your soul. This is the way our conversation went. And I said, I would like to friend you. And he said, I don't think that'd be wise for me to. So he wouldn't let me know who he was about. But I put in a prayer request for Gilbert from Nigeria, who's doing something that he knows is wrong, and he wishes he didn't have to do it. And maybe somewhere along the line, it'll make a difference. I don't know. But God can lead us, and God can help us. And I actually come away blessed from getting to tell a soul that Jesus loved them and would help them with their life. It wasn't no time after that that my cousin Becky sent a friend request to me. It wasn't cousin Becky. It was another fraudster. But it wasn't Gilbert this time. This person wouldn't tell me their name. But they said the same thing. Brother, if I had any help at all, I wouldn't do this. I'm ashamed of myself. And I told him, well, I want you to know. Probably won't talk to you again, but I do want you to know that God loves you. And there's more to you in this life than just to reach the highest goal of being a fraud. You can be better than that. I don't know what you think of that, but there are souls, and I feel like God led them to me. And I'll be honest with you. If you think that I don't want frauds, I'm telling you, I'll take all of them. Because I ain't worried about them getting anything from me. And I actually look for the next one to say, hey, did you hear about the government's refund of money? I got $16,000 or whatever it is for me to say, you know, Jesus loves you. If you want to work for the Lord, is my point, and you have a desire for the Lord, there's plenty to do. There's people everywhere in need. There's hungry, there's starving, there's people that's doing fraud that don't want to. There's people that need to talk to about the Lord. There's people in nursing homes. There's people in hospital. There's people everywhere that need sung to, prayed for, worked for. There's so much to do. Lord, what would you have me to do? What would you have me to do? I think when we don't do those kind of things for the Lord, we can stagnate and our troubles become so big to us, and we wallow around in our own troubles when our life should be freely working for the Lord and giving to others, and we wouldn't have time to be what I say, get my feeling hurt at my brother's insinuation about something. Or I got feelings hurt because somebody said, or none of this said, I ain't got time for feelings hurt. I need to tell somebody about Jesus. I don't know the answers to the problems, but I know the one that knows the answers. And my life's experience, I'm just going to tell you, my life's experience is when I think something's so big and the giant's too big to do anything with, and isn't it, I find that if I turn that over to the Lord, there is a miracle happen. And I will turn around after a time and see that the giant's just a little old fella now. He ain't nothing to fool with now. God takes the wind completely out of it. And it can change it right down. And so often, that's what the Lord will do. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.